Well, this is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I was surprised at how hard it was, though. So
me too.
All right.
It was hard.
Let's explain.
Headphones in, everybody.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Like, turn off your Bluetooth.
Very important. If you're at the car wash or they're my favorite tweets and Instagrams where it's like, well, I took my car to be detailed and like, I was listening to the pegging episode.
It happens. Walk away from the car with your phone, but it's still in range.
Just be careful, you guys. Don't, let them fall out on an airplane. I'm reading Julia Whalen, an arc of Julia Whalen's book, which comes out in August. It's called Thank You for Listening, and it's about two audiobook narrators who are like trading off like chapters in an audiobook, and they fall in love. Anyway, and in the very beginning, she's on a plane, and her headphones come unplugged from her like iPod, and she's listening to a book on audio, and there's like a small child sitting next to her, and it's exactly where you don't want that to happen. Anyway,
and this could be you, so take precaution.
Headphones in, everyone. Welcome to Faded Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels and I write them.
And I'm Jennifer Prokop, a romance reader and editor. And this week, okay, so one of our listeners and a friend of the pod, Julie Block, won the auction Romancing for Reproductive Justice, in which you could win you pick the Faded Mates topic.
Yep. It's one of we love these episodes. Anyway, let's just pause for a moment and talk about this auction. So it was put together by a bookseller who wanted to do the business, who is just as angry as all the rest of us. The owner of the Meet Cute Romance Bookshop and Fizzery, a new romance-focused bookstore in La Mesa, California. Becca Title is her name. And she put this whole auction together in like a heartbeat. It was amazing. She just snapped into action. And what she did was ask for donations to the National Network of Abortion Funds Collective Power Fund. So when you won your auction item, you made a donation. Thank you to Julie for making the donation for the Faded Mates episode. If any of you missed the chance to be a part of the auction but still want to give money to the National Network of Abortion Funds Collective Power Fund, we will put links in show notes. And you should do that because abortion should be safe and legal. And we support it.
Help someone out there who needs the funds to get one. And we thank you, Julie, for winning the auction for this really important cause. So she trolled us for a second and was like, I'm going to have you all do cliffhangers. And I was like, I don't have anything to say about
that. And Jen was like, the episode is Jen saying no.
The episode is 3 seconds long. So then she came up with a really fun idea, which is to talk about sex scenes, kind of our favorites, why they're hot, why they work.
Well, she also was sort of like, and you're like the wildest sex scenes.
Yeah, right?
Which, when you've read as many books as us, I thought, like, initially I was like, this is a great episode. We'll be able to do it. This is the problem. Every once in a while we run late on a week and we're like, okay, we got to like squeeze in an episode. And the ones that I think are going to be fast and easy
are the ones that are the hardest.
Never easy. They require so much research. I mean, it's not like this research was difficult for me. But I want to talk about this because it was so difficult that like I did have to do research. Like, what are the scenes I want to talk about? And you had a good idea before we started recording, which was let's talk about how we did it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of had the same thing where I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. It's going to be so easy. And then I found myself really kind of stalling out. I mean, almost I think part of it is just like the logic of numbers, right? Like, okay, if almost every romance I've ever read has a sex scene, how am I supposed to now like sift through my memory, right? Like I'm a computer, like the fan on my Mac is like running hot, right? And I'm just like, spinning my wheels trying to figure it out. And so at first I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I quickly became a little overwhelmed. And then I realized that for me, a lot of the ways my brain started working on this was thinking about, like, thinking about almost in terms of tropes, right? So, like, my little list has things like danger bang. Oh, shit, it's hot. Beautiful, you know, like, voyeurism, bad boys, oh, no, feelings. Because one of the things we say all the time is that, like, really good sex scenes are communicating feelings, right? Intimacy, a movement or progress forward in the relationship. And so then it kind of started making sense to me that I would be thinking about it in terms of, like, oh, where are the books where, like, I, like, that got triggered, right? Like, I really saw it working. So that's kind of the way I did. And then what I honestly started to do was, like, just, like, look through my shelves, kind of look at books, and then kind of, I was, you know, started, oh, yeah, and writing down titles. My big fear is that there's going to be, like, essentially fated mates bias built into it. Like, I've already talked about this before, and therefore it is connected in my brain in a way that hasn't happened if I just read the book and have never mentioned it. So I do think a lot of the books I'm going to mention, probably I've mentioned before. I've already done the work, the pre, you know, work of thinking about these books.
I agree. And I think that there are not that many books on this list that we haven't talked about at some point in the past. We are now, like, in a position to be able to kind of talk about this differently. I just want to add that I did, so I did not go through tropes, but I did think about, I think, to sort them in my head and categorize them in my head, I did it. I think there are probably three buckets, though I'm not sure that, though the list is not bucketed. And you should all be prepared because this is just going to be one of our mega wreck. Like, and we should also probably qualify, like, check if you are somebody who needs content warnings, you're going to need to check all these, like, before you start.
Yeah, so, I didn't reread for this. I strictly was like, what do I remember? Yeah, pure kind of memory. Yeah.
Pure adrenaline list making, right?
Yes.
So my three are probably, they're bucketed as, like, firsts. Interestingly, like, the first time I, and I think that's probably, like, a, that's the first time I saw that happen in a book and, like, kind of acknowledged that it could be hot.
Yeah.
And then I have, like, a what the fuck bucket, like.
Yeah, right. For sure. Those are fun.
Those are the fun ones. Those are the ones where it's like, what is happening now?
Yeah, right.
And then I have, like, a five alarm bucket. Like, these are, like, the solids.
Yes.
You know, return to them forever. I do want to say, I, while, like, there are probably some repeats from that we have, like, talked a lot about in terms of, like, Nikki Sloan is on my list for a very specific book. There are also some authors that I specifically did not put on this list because I was like, we have talked about them.
Yeah.
Like, London Hale is not on my list.
Right.
Even though I think London Hale, and you all know this from our London Hale episode, is, like, a very solid, like, if you're looking for just a hot read, that's a good one. Tessa Bailey is not on my list.
Right. Right.
Despite the fact that, like, obviously her Dirty Talk is A+.
Right. Right. Well, and that's it too. I kind of felt like I was trying to do the same thing, which is circle down to books where maybe we haven't talked about them as extensively or we mentioned them in interstitial, so it's essentially going to get mentioned again. But yeah, I mean, for me, it was really interesting. I definitely had I had those similar buckets, right? But then I think I also have these, like, trope buckets, right? So I have, okay, these people are predictably going to deliver something hot to you every time. Mm-hmm. I had, it's funny because although I did think about a couple, like, oh, that's the first time I saw it, they ended up kind of morphing into other buckets, like the trope buckets for me. And then definitely, for sure, I have an absolute, like, what the fuck? Every time someone's like, the wildest thing you've ever read, it just rises up to the surface like a whale coming up for air.
One book?
One book.
Let's start there, Jen.
Okay. So I read a book called I can't even say the title. I'm dying. Okay, it's called Laying Pipe by Kate Allure. And in this book, he's a plumber.
Sure he is. And
she's doing some home renovations.
Sure.
And at one point, he builds her something he calls the drill-do. Which is that he, and I'm like, this actually seems very dangerous. Please don't try this at home. Where he essentially like builds her a homemade spreader bar out of like his plumbing tools and then attaches a dildo to like a drill. So it would spin real fast.
We should also probably say headphones in and also don't try this at home. Like, this is like, none of these should be tried at home.
No, no. And in fact,
that's like a closed course professional driver situation.
Well, and you know what? Like, so one of my go-to people on Twitter is Jennifer Porter.
Right? Jennifer Porter, who diagrams them all.
And these are diagrammed. I actually was like, I remember her drawing like several, like the place, her placement on the table, what she thinks the actual thing looks like. And I remember us just like cackling. And I read this and was literally like, okay, that both seems like it would hurt. Mm-hmm. Right?
No, it's too much.
It's too much. But in terms of sheer what the fuckery, mm-hmm. that is like the tops. If someone's like, what's the craziest thing you've ever read in a romance novel? I would be like, the drill dough.
The drill dough.
Bam.
All right. All right. So, like, I can't top that with, like, I certainly can't top that with a contemporary. I mean, and yeah. This is where because I think I've definitely name checked what I think is the like, wildest sex. Yeah. And that is that Satter series.
Oh, Elizabeth yeah.
Amber Satter series, which I actually have, like, gone back to recently because we did an episode with Christina Lauren where I brought those up. And I would highly recommend, like, not reading necessarily these books again. They do not age well.
Yeah.
But so if you, again, check your content warnings, but like that's the original two cocks, like one character, two cocks. It also involves like, like the brothers are all involved. There's like an altar. There's like, you know, virgin sacrifice. Like it's, there's a, not like murder sacrifice, but like
fucking sacrifice. Yeah, sure.
And like, they're like, a bunch of, you know, paranormal creatures who they can conjure to, like, have all sorts of things happen. It's bananas. And just, like, fully bananas, start to finish. The heroes, the villains of these books are all, like, very much caricatures. And it's just, there's a lot going on in those books. So that's probably my biggest, like, what the fuck. But yeah. I do want to, like, if we're going to just, should we just, like, stay in the what the fuck pool?
Yes, for sure. Okay. Yeah, this is a fun one.
Because, like, I got a name check Morning Glory Milking Farm, which feels like everyone on Twitter and everybody in romance has read. But, like, bull semen as, like, a human Viagra and therefore – I'm sorry, not bull. Minotaur semen as human Viagra. Like, and then the farming of such
– yes.
Medicine for medicinal purposes, but there's something very like sweet and wholesome about that, like all those scenes where she is like milking him for her job.
Sure.
I mean, again, like these are just, there are moments in romance history where you think to yourself like,
we'll never forget this. Remember?
Wow. What a country.
Remember the year of Morning Glory Milking Farm?
And then I think that as fated mates, we can't do this without the blood blowjob.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's also on my list, right? Like, this is like the trifecta of.
Yeah. The first, it's all three, right? Yes. Like, like that.
In so this is from.
Well, it's from multiples.
Yes, right. So, and for me, even though Lothair has it, I still think A Heart of Blood and Ashes is unparalleled.
Oh, well, that's a hand job.
Oh, excuse me. You're right.
I mean, God, Jen.
Amateur.
That's like a whole separate category.
obviously.
No, I'm talking about Lothair.
Yes.
There is one earlier. There are blowjobs earlier in the series, but like the Lothair one.
Yes.
In audio. is both like, I think that is the first time I registered it as like a sex act and like kind of weirdly a kink.
Yeah.
And then also had a like, what the fuck is happening? But of course it's happening and wow, Cressley's amazing. And then also like a five alarm sort of like, oh, this is super hot.
Yeah. Right.
And then it comes back around. Like she, I think Cressley realized in that moment, like, oh, this is super hot and like brings it back in
brings
other
it books, back for
including
other
books. Sweet Ruin.
Which is your fave.
Which is my favorite.
Look. Like, sometimes kink is just a kink. It's just hot because it's hot, right?
Yep.
It's also one of the reasons I think it's kind of hard to talk about this stuff, right? Because sometimes you're like, yeah, it's just hot.
But also, like, a blood blowjob isn't necessarily hot to everyone.
Right, right.
And, you know, that's fine if you're out there and you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
We understand.
Yeah. But I also think it's worth thinking about, like, well, it's like the ultimate vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of ways, too, with some of them where I could be like, oh, okay, I get why I think this is hot.
Mm-hmm. Trust. I mean, and the truth is that, like, sex in books is often about trust. Mm-hmm. Like, it's often about, like, and especially in romance novels, we've talked about this before, but it's about, like, characters laying themselves bare for each other, which is why in romance, the sex scenes should be there to move the story forward, right?
Right.
Because it is about emotional connection. And actually, in both of those situations, in both the blood blowjob and the Morning Glory milking farm situation, and in several of the other books, you can sort of see my, like, the seeds of my, like, alpha submissive, how I really like an alpha submissive, because, like, I do like it. Like, I like it when men are forced to...
Yeah, be vulnerable.
Like, be vulnerable to heroines.
Yeah. Okay, I have mentioned this one before. Everyone has heard me. Maybe you could put this together based on other things I've said. I love it when, like, people that are, like, super athletic and super cut and hot, like, do crazy things. And there's a Cora Seton, Cora Riley book where, like, a Navy SEAL fucks from a handstand position. And I was like, okay, I appreciate that, sir.
This is one of these legends on Twitter, but, like, I've never seen the title of the book. Do you have the title?
I'm going to find it while you talk about other things.
Okay, well, here's another one that's, again, like, in the blood family, I guess. The blood hand job that Jen talked about earlier is A Heart of Blood and Ashes, and that's really about, there's so much going on in that scene. It's so great.
Well, and it's great. Like, that one is really, like, talk about taking the finger.
Yeah. There is a series called The Club by Lauren Rowe. And I tore through these books. It's four books, and they follow the same hero and heroine. So I guess they're cliffhangers, but I don't actually remember the cliffhangers because you can buy it as like a 1-4.
Got it. Right.
Or you can not buy it, but it's on KU as like all of them together. And so like, I don't think I came to them late enough that they were not cliffhangers for me. I just sort of like,
yeah, right. Read them all.
Giant thing. The fourth book, and this is actually the first time I've ever seen this done, and I'm not sure I support it, but in this series, I do support it, so I want to qualify this. But, like, so this series has a fourth book, which is basically just an epilogue, but it's not two chapters. It's, like, a whole book.
Oh, of all the, yeah.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, like, the prior books all have, like, an edge of, there's, you know, the premise of this series is that the heroine takes a job, like, for, like a sex club. She's doing, like, admin for a sex club, and she, like, is doing the research on the clients before they get accepted into this club where, you know, they can match up with people in the world. They don't go to the club. They, like, are part of a club, and then they, like, meet partners in the world. So it's like, you know, you download an app and you say, like, I want to meet somebody who's into X, Y, and Z, and then, like, you meet up at, like, a bar.
Right.
It's like a service, like a dating app, but like for rich people. I don't know. So kinky rich people. What whatever. It doesn't matter. Point is, she works for this club, whatever. It's, there's a lot to really love about, like, the setup of this book. But there are, like, all these mysteries. Like, the FBI is involved at one time, and she gets, like, almost murdered at one time. And so, like, that's how the books move forward. They're a little bit thrillery. And then the fourth book is a really, like, intense, emotional romance. Like, the sort of final beat. It's like that. The entire thing is the third, the push for them to understand each other, like, emotionally. Like, there's a pregnancy loss in this book. Like, there's a lot that goes on in this. So, there's not a loss. I'm sorry. She has twins very early. So okay. She has, like, had these premature twins. And as we all know, who, you know, have had experience with birth, there's, like, a period of time afterward where, like, you're not allowed to have sex, like, penetrative sex. And, like, this guy's super into, like, sex. Like, they have sex all the time. And because he, like, can't deal with it, he's, like, you know, can... No, I mean, like, he's just hot for her, okay. Right? And so, like, and she's hot for him, but they can't have penetrative sex. And he, like, his trauma, it's very sort of Christian Grey. His trauma is that, like, he saw his mother killed, like, in a bloody whatever when he was a baby or young. And so he has, like, a real problem with blood. And she... has just had a child, so, like, she is bleeding.
Sure.
And he's like, I love you so much and want you so much and, like, can't bear to, like, live without giving you orgasms, because that is, like, his whole thing is, like, he wants to just give her orgasms all the time. Thank you. That's great. So he goes down on her in, like, the longest, most intense oral scene I've ever read.
You go, girl. You go,
and
guys.
He's like, and the whole time he's like, I can taste... blood. It's contemporary. This is like a full contemporary book. And he's like, I can taste blood. And then he's like, and it's like turning me on. Like, blood used to make me like she is rebirthing me in some way. As like she's rewiring me with her, like,
I feel like I should orgasms. Take a screenshot of my face so everybody can write it's down like, right now me and be like,
it's like okay. I feel like I've spent too much time talking about the series. But the point is that, like, this scene is wild.
Yeah.
Because it is. There's so much emotional shit going on in the scene, and I actually don't think it would work if I hadn't read the other three books and, like, wasn't super into, like, the emotional arc of this particular hero.
Yeah.
But it is very hot and also very, like, there's a lot. It's a lot here. It's a lot.
You know?
So.
I like that it's a lot.
And it's extremely long, too, which... is always a sort of, you know,
sure.
Interesting choice.
Interesting.
Not bad, just an interesting choice. So that's Lauren Rose, The Club. And that's number four. It's the culmination, but I highly recommend reading the others first.
Sure, so you can get the full effect.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd start with blood, but we did.
There you go, Julie. This is what people come for. They didn't expect it either, Jen, and here we are.
And yet here we are. Okay.
But Julie wanted cliffhangers, and look, I just delivered her one.
Look at you doing it. You're doing the thing.
This week's episode of Fated Mates is sponsored by Melissa McTernan, author of Married to the Fey Queen.
Married to the Fey Queen is book two in the Fairy Realm series, but it is a perfect place to jump right in. This is about Cricket, who makes a bargain for his friend's happiness, but somehow this ends up with him being married to the Gold Queen.
Oh, I love a hero who makes a sacrifice, especially for happiness. That's awesome.
And for his best friend. Yeah. Now, the Gold Queen's Orla, she can read his every emotion, which he is convinced is pure hatred. But I have a feeling that after being weeks of stuck with her in this palace, things are about to change. Orla has her own problems. Everyone thinks she's going to turn into a mad queen, and forcing this dude to marry her seems to fit the bill. So what is going to happen with once she figures out what his real emotions are, and once they face that they are trapped in the palace with only one bed?
You can find out more about Married to the Fey Queen or about Melissa's books at melissamct.com or on Twitter or Instagram, where Melissa is at Melissa McTernan.
Married to the Fey Queen is available in print, ebook, and on KU. So we hope that you will check it out. And thanks to Melissa for sponsoring this week's episode of the show. Okay, let me do something that I think exists in real life but does not often exist in romance. So I'm excited to see it when it does, which is in real life. I hope everybody out here has had this experience. Sex is really fun, right? And in romance, instead, it's often really, like, serious, right? Like, this has changed my life, and it's so intense, right? And you don't often get, I think, which is a shame, like, people just having a great time. Like, it's fun, and they're laughing, and it's, like, a little, like, does that make sense?
Yep.
And so there are two books that I was thinking of. One, I thought of one, and then I, like, as I was looking through my list, I think I thought of another, which is I Think I Might Love You by Christina C. Jones. Has two characters, Caden and Jacqueline. And this is like a series about three sisters, and I think this is the first one. And there's this whole scene, like, he is just, she owns like an ice cream shop, and she like gives him ice cream. He's lactose intolerant, and she gives him ice cream that has dairy, and he's like, there's a whole scene where he like makes a big deal out of like farting on her, which is like, you'd be like, how is this sexy or silly? But you know what, it's, and this is not the sex scene, but it's just like they are really like, they have a lot of fun together. And then when they find, like, when they have sex the first time, like, they just are like, like, it's fun. Like, they're laughing. And then there's actually a whole scene where he's, like, kind of, like, freaking out. And the cat gets in bed with them and is, like, licking his balls. Or something. Maybe it's, like, claws in the ass. I don't know. Something. It's really funny. Sarah's laughing. It's really funny. And Jacqueline is, like, I know I shouldn't be laughing, but she is cracking up. And I just – it was – I will never forget that. Like, I just remember reading it and thinking – We don't get enough sex scenes like this where people are just like delighted and having a great time being together. Mm-hmm. And then as I was looking through my lists or like books I've read, like, you know what I mean, my Goodreads list, another one that struck me as being kind of similar is Act Your Age, Eve Brown, where he discovers essentially her sparkly purple dildo and is like, this looks like fun. Let's give it a whirl. And they like play with it together. And and both of those books, I think, really had that, like, this is fun. This sex is fun. And I just think that that is something that you don't see as often in romance. You see a lot of, like, it's so serious, right? It's moved me. I'm a changed person. So anyway, I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, it definitely does. And I think that, interestingly, unsurprisingly, I have several on my list that are toy... Yeah. Adjacent, because okay. I feel like that's also, or like involve toys, because I think that is, again, it's like playfulness. It's also about trust, yes. Right? It's like, I'm giving you the tools, like, especially with, you know, when your partner, instead of your partner bringing you toys, like when your partner discovers your toys, like you are giving them access to like the tools that you find most pleasurable. And so, like, there is something very bearing about that and very, you know, emotionally open about that, right? So I just want to name check. I'm not going to talk too much about any of these, but I want to name check. First things first, I want to name check Her Night with Santa, which is...
Yes.
Look, we've talked about this. I've talked about this book a lot because I think it's terrific. But this is Adriana Herrera's Christmas novella.
It's so good.
It's the new mythology of Santa in my house with my child, which is like this, one of the heroines has essentially like Santa is the family business and she is now Santa. But then she, you know, the other heroine is the daughter of one of the kings of the Magi. And like they find each other in the Caribbean because it's Adriana and after the day after Santa. And there are many, many, many toys involved in this like incredibly hot, incredibly sexy, like morsel of a book. And it's terrific. But I literally have all these labeled as toys. So I'm going to run through them. My favorite Lauren Blakely, who like, you don't hear as much about anymore, but I really love Lauren's books. I think she's one of those people who just like super hits the spot. and is nights with him, and he is a sex toy CEO who is, like, invented at one point. There's, like, a rooftop, New York City, like, high-rise rooftop scene where he's, like, invented a new sex toy, and he's, like, letting her road test it for him. And he's, like, it's hot. It's just hot. They're on a rooftop, and he's like, tell me what it feels like. And she's like, holy shit, this is the greatest invention ever, and it's great. Wait, I had another one.
Was it Alexis Daria's? Because I thought that was also a really good one.
Oh, that's such a good one.
You had me at Ola.
Yeah.
We did a whole deep dive on that, but that also has a lot of really open communication, like talk of toys, lube. It's super hot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of, and then the sex toy actually is the inciting incident of the third act breakup in this one, but I just want to nod to it because actually I think the sex across the board in this book is great. And that is Sarah Kate's Praise, which we've talked about, have danced around on the podcast, and I'm not going to talk too much about it because I think it will come back in a future episode, but that is a great, great book, and it's super kinky. The kink is praise kink, which is like, you know, if you're into like good girl, like, which is super hot. And there is a like, I love a panty vibrator. It's such a weird thing, but I love that, like, you know.
Oh, maybe I'm like, you know, maybe this will be how we try and get from one to one. You'll say something. I'm like, oh, wait, I think I've got that one.
Yeah. Like but I really like that because I feel like he's in control. Like often this is a hero heroine thing and she's wearing it and he's in control. And like, it just happens in the middle of like a dinner party or whatever. And I think that's hot.
Yes, for sure. So a person who I think just like writes really hot, like really like great hot books is Elia Winters. And
oh, yeah.
Yes.
And right? Talk about sex toys.
Yes. And there's two that essentially are kind of have that vibe in Just Past Two and then Three-Way Split. In Three-Way Split, she owns a sex toy shop, and there's a sex swing in the book. Mm-hmm. And she hooks up with these two men who are, like, kind of lover, like, essentially, like, they casually hook up and they're friends, but, like, somehow when she enters in, they really become, like, a threesome. And then in Just Past Two, it's about a couple who are experimenting with opening their marriage. And both of these books are, like, incendiary levels of hot.
Bananas
hot. Yeah, super, super good.
So you're getting into, sorry.
Yeah, no.
Do you have more to say about that?
No.
Because that leads us into like ménage.
Yes, and I have a few more of those, but you go and then I can add some of mine.
So I just want to name check a couple of people because we talked about them before, but like Katie Robert for me is somebody who like her ménage books are terrific. She really knows how to do it, where often what ends up happening in ménage books for me, like I love a ménage book, but like it often feels to me like the third party in the ménage is like, or not third party, but like there's always one who feels like he is a tool rather than, or she is a tool rather than
a like character,
active participant in whatever's going on. Katie does not disappoint. And then there are a number, but if like ménage as like ultimately in a triad or in a like partnership, like a long-term relationship with multiple people, if you just are looking for great books where there is a third in some of the scenes, Nikki Sloan does that really well. We did a deep dive on
Little Mistakes.
Thank you. We did a deep dive on Three Little Mistakes, which has a great like third, a woman is a third in the couple's sex life for a little bit of time. Also, Isabel Love's Unconventional also has that. So, and both of those do like really tackle that like ménage experience, the one night ménage, the like third in the moment really well.
Yeah. A really super hot one like that is, like, I have reread this book a bunch of times because it's just super, 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 super hot. Jasmine Haynes, who is also Jennifer Scully, has written a bunch of books, like, sort of that are, like, more erotica. And there's one called Take Your Pick. And essentially, there's a woman who has, she has like a kind of a long-term like boyfriend, but she's sleeping with her contractor on the side. And the three of them get together.
Wait, is she sleeping on her with her contractor on the side in an open relationship? Or is it, is there infidelity involved here?
No, I don't think it's, you know what?
Would we call it infidelity?
I wouldn't, but I also think that I'm like, it didn't bother me, but I think if you are at all, if you're all worried about that, maybe it would, because I mean, I think for sure the boyfriend who is kind of like the Grant, kind of the serious guy, realizes that she is seeing someone else. Like, I don't think it's like that that she's cheating, but she basically is, you know, he's like, I want to be exclusive. And she's kind of like, yeah, but what about Carl? And he's like, well, why don't we just all, we'll just all do it and then we'll figure it out. And they all do it.
Nice. All right.
I'm sorry. Cool. Okay. I also really like a book called Callie Unwrapped by Amy Jo Cousins. And in this one, this is great. Essentially, Callie is our main character, and she is going to meet her ex at this pool hall, and Gabe has Kate with him, his kind of new girlfriend. But like, it's pretty clear from the beginning that all three of them are treating this pool hall date as like a kind of a checking each other out prelude to a threesome. And then they get in a cab and go home, and the whole thing is just like fire. It's great. It's nice. Really, really good. And it's a novella, so it's like super short, really fun. But yeah, it's like sort of this thing where it's kind of like Callie's like, am I really into this or not? And then she gets there and she's like, oh, I'm into it. And you will be too. And then one of my favorite is All Together by Brill Harper, which we've mentioned before. Yeah, and it's – I really like – there's three of them, and they each get a point of view section, but it never goes back. It's not interspersed. It's like one of them, and then you get the middle from another point of view, and then the last part from the third's point of view. And it was really interesting way to do it as opposed to like sort of interspersing the three. So I also thought structurally it was kind of interesting. Also very hot.
Also, that series, that Ménage series from Brill Harper, if you are into praise kink, I just went back to it after I read Sarah Kate's Praise for reasons. And it's also pretty praise kinky.
Hmm. Okay, there you go. Oh, P.S. I did a little research. That Navy SEAL book is called The Navy SEAL's Christmas Bride by Cora Seton. And in the scene, he's basically like, come over to this wall. And she's like, yeah, like we've tried it before, right? And she basically is like, he's like, we should both be in handstands. And the heroine thinks, that wasn't that unusual, right, when he shows her the wall. But she knew she'd have a great time no matter how they did it. I like that spirit. Good job.
Very supportive. Well, if we're going to talk about athletes and we're going to talk about then we have to talk about Tamsin Parker, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about Tamsin on the pod before because these books are very hot. But she has a whole series set at, like, basically the Olympics. They're called the Snow and Ice Games.
Sure.
The one that we love is Fire on the Ice, which is about a speed skater and a figure skater.
Probably this might be the hottest book I've ever read.
It's bananas. So extremely great. It really scratches Jen's itch for superior athletes, people with superior bodies doing superior things.
You know what else is interesting about that book is, and I'm sure I've said this too when we've talked about it, this is probably the only book I've read where there's like a polyamorous like ending, right? It ends with them kind of agreeing to be in an open relationship, but only one of them, the speed skater, is interested. Like the other, like this, the figure skater is like, I'm happy to just be with you, but I also am totally happy for you that you need this, like you need more, right? And so it's a really cool ending because I think in real life, not all polyamorous people just end up in close triads. So I think it's also good.
That's correct. This week's episode is sponsored by Lumi Labs, creators of microdosed gummies, which deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good.
What is great about these is I have tried, I have like two kind of specific maladies I've tried these for, and it's worked really great for both. One is I have trouble falling asleep, and that has been really helpful to just take one at bedtime, but also I have restless leg syndrome. And so sometimes in the afternoon, that's something that, you know, I'm kind of dealing with later in the afternoon. And I have taken them at that time, and it has been really helpful too.
That's awesome. Eric said that he's been taking them and finding a lot of focus during the day. So I think depending on what you get from THC in general, you might be able to find a little bit of that in these gummies. I tried them last week and I was looking for focus, but actually got the sleep, which was awesome. I mean, look.
Nothing wrong with that.
Out like a light, slept like a baby. I'm for it.
They do really taste great and feel amazing. You can get them through the mail, which I think is a real benefit, and they are available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick online search or go to microdose.com, where you can use the code FADEDMATES to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
You can find links in show notes, but again, that's microdose.com, code FATEDMATES. And thanks so much to Lumi Labs and Microdose Gummies for sponsoring the episode. So I want to talk about bondage, because I think that often what ends up happening when we talk about erotic romance, mm-hmm. like often people just like really lean into like, they think all erotic romance involves BDSM.
Right.
And that is actually not the case. In fact, I would say most of the books we've already discussed, however far into the episode as we are, most of those books are not bondage related.
Right.
So that just gives you a sense of like there's lots out here in the pool for you to try. But I do want to name check a few because I think there are – I think for me, like – bondage is often, I think sometimes in the worst sort of case, it can be used as a shorthand to convince you as a reader that the scene is hot, but the scene is actually not that hot.
It's not doing the work, right.
It's not doing the emotional work of like the sex scene. Like it's shorthanding it. And for a lot of us, like we're making that mental leap ourselves. But there are a few authors who I think have done it really beautifully. And I want to sort of name them. Penny Ames. We did a deep dive on this episode. No, we didn't do a deep dive. I put it on the list last year as one of the best of the year. Penny Ames's For the Love of April French is set in a kink club where there is bondage, like bondage is a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And she is, the heroine is a dom and the hero is like kind of learning to be submissive. And it's wildly sexy. Mm-hmm. So that's a great one. I also want to name check Audra North. We're never going to do an alpha submissive episode because Jen's not into it. But Audra North's Giving It Up is another one where he's like a SWAT team leader and he like is in control of like everything. His family, he takes care of his mother and his sister. And like, he's the guy who like has to make sure like mm-hmm. none of the guys on the SWAT team die. And like, he's a hostage negotiator. And like, you know, he's all these things. He's like super in control all the time. And like, all he really wants is to give up control in bed. And it's super hot. That's called Giving It Up.
So similar to that, I would put in Jenny Nordback's His Leading Lady, which has another, it's like, you know, she is the dominatrix and he mm-hmm. is a movie star who is taking on a role where he has to kind of be a dom. It's essentially kind of almost like a very much like a Christian Grey type character that he'll be playing, only like, mm-hmm. you know, real intense. And so the movie studio doesn't think he has the chops for this role, essentially. And so he and his agent realize that if he doesn't kind of figure this out, that he might get fired from the production. So they go and hire this woman to essentially train him. And so that, like, I'll teach you what you need to know vibe is super, super great. And this book does it really well, because the whole progression is like, I'm learning it for this role, but then I'm also like learning about who I am. And I love that too. Like this, like, multi-layered sort of exploration of like what's going on here. So it's terrific. It's super, super hot.
Also, it feels like we have to name check the Game Maker series again here, right?
Yes.
Which is the master is the chastity belt. Hello, chastity belt searchers.
Sure,
every once in a while. Every once in a while, we look at our like Google search terms, and like chastity belt romance is always one of them. So hi, everyone. It's unfortunately the same book, but the master's the one with the chastity belt. And the Game Maker is, he buys her, like, he's a billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
He buys her, like, easily $1 million worth of sex toys. So that. And then there's also lots of bondage in that episode, in that book.
Yes.
Did I say the Game Maker? I meant the Player. The Player.
Yeah. The Game Maker series. It's the Game Maker series. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So in that series, it's like this real, I don't know, like this bad boy attraction, right? Like, especially, I would say, actually all three of them, maybe more in the first two. This is an interesting thing to me, because when I was like a teenager reading like teenage romances, like I loved that shit, right? But as a grown woman, I feel
1,000%.
Like, right? I feel like it's really hard to sell me on that. In like books where it's like male female, like I'm just kind of like, whatever, how bad can he be? I mean, I guess maybe that's all of dark romance, but there's a lot of gay romance where this like forbidden attraction part, like that has that same, like it rings that same bell, but in a way that is like really different. And two books in particular that I thought were great for this like kind of bad boy like mythology is Band Sinister by K.J. Charles.
I mean,
it's so good. And
it's such
right?
a good book.
It's so good. And it totally, right? Like, he's like, I am the good one. And then, like, I, you know, his magnetic attraction to like the guy next door and all, and his band of like, you know, you know, scoundrels. It's so terrific. And then this is more romance light because it's a mystery series. Adriana recommended them to me, and I listened to them all in audio, the Adrian English Mysteries, where Jake is a cop who is closeted, and Adrian is a bookstore owner. He owns a mystery bookstore, and he is super
Perfect.
Attracted to Jake, and you know, they're really attracted to each other, but like Jake is so such a bad boy, right? He's so bad for him. And so those are two books where like that like bad boy mythology like really, really worked for me. And then I was thinking one where it actually it does kind of work in a male-female romance is this Sophie Jordan book, which I love, called Fury on Fire, where Faith is like essentially like this good girl, and her dad or her brother are is the sheriff, and she like is really insistent she's gonna like move out on her own, and she like moves into this duplex, and the guy next door, his name is North Callahan, and he has just been released from prison, and like she is super attracted to him even though she knows that she should not be, and it's just so good and so intense. So I would say like that's like it's funny, it's a trope that is harder and harder to like make work for me, but when it does work, it's like perfect.
So I'm gonna jump from Sophie Jordan, because the one thing that we haven't done yet is historicals.
Okay.
And I think that one of the things that people don't fully understand who don't read historicals is how fucking hot historicals can be. So I want to take Sophie Jordan contemporary Fury on Fire and also just name check. First of all, I think Sophie writes a blazing hot book. So if you've never read Sophie's historicals, you absolutely should. The Virgin and the Rogue, which again, I know we've talked about because we did an aphrodisiac romance, is so hot. The premise is that the heroine gets hold of an aphrodisiac for, well, she's taking like a tincture for her cramps, her like, you know,
right,
her cramps and to assuage her cramps. And her sister has messed with the contents of this tincture. And she takes it and it assuages the cramps, but also makes her the horniest anyone has ever been in their lives. And so she literally, like, in the middle of the night, finds this. They have a house guest, this, like, super rake. And she climbs him like a tree. Mm. And he is like, what is happening? And there's, like, a really beautiful there's a lot of consent in this book, too. Like, there's a lot of discussion of, like he won't. Because she can't, he figures out very fast that she's like
something's
on an aphrodisiac. But like then the next day after it's worn off, like they are just so hot for each other. And it's really fabulous. So there's that. I don't know how many historicals you have, but
I have two. And again, I think I'm – so in E.E. Ottman's A Matter of Disagreement, it's sort of like surprise hot. Like it's mm-hmm. it's like really – like there's a simmering attraction between them and it's a novella. And then like all of a sudden in the last chapter, it like E.E. Ottman basically like just like turns up the heat. Like the flame just goes whoosh. And I love that. It's really, really good. But also I was going to mention – and I'm sure we've mentioned them before. There's a whole historical series by Kate Pierce, the Simply, which are...
Well, you like the Simply ones. I like the Sinner's Club. So perfect. There are multiples.
Yes. All Kate of also her historicals writes,
Yeah, she also writes lots of contemporaries. She's written like a million books. She writes lots of contemporaries and cowboy books. But if you have never read those historicals, they are great.
Yes, really
also,
good.
Very worth exploring Nicola Davidson's backlist, which I think is almost entirely on KU. But they are all just erotic novels set in the Regency and very great. And I have to give a shout out here. Well, first of all, can we just like, we're just going to take a little detour back into the what the fuck. we did a deep dive on Lisa Valdez's Passion, which just spending any time on that deep dive, you'll realize.
Yeah.
Right. Why that is in the what the fuck bucket. But also the OG what the fuck romance novelist is Bertrice Small, who we have never done a deep dive on. But my first, I think I've confessed this on the podcast, when I was like 13, my sister-in-law gave me All the Sweet Tomorrows, which involves a heroine following her, this is deeply problematic, you guys, following her husband, who she like loves. He's been kidnapped and brought to some location by an evil sultan, and she sells herself to the sultan, and then he breastfeeds from her.
Sure.
And that was the first time I had ever seen anything like that. It was very eye-opening for a 13-year-old. Sure. But breastfeeding romance novels is a kink. It is in a lot of them, and Bertrice Small really launched that ship for me.
Oh, I don't even know really where to go from there now, Sarah?
I mean, you know, look, if that's your thing, we support you here at Faded Mates.
Sure.
You can find that in Derek Craven, our favorite.
Yeah, sure.
And also Galen Foley. I think it's The Princess. This morning I did a little research trying to figure out which one it was, but I'm pretty sure it's The Princess. But it happens in there, too.
Sandra Brown, I think, traffics in that a little bit.
And all Sandra Browns.
Okay, I think if we're I don't even know if we're like making sense anymore, but I have a it's basically erotica, right? Like there's some folks that I'm like, okay. Nikki Sloan, Katie Robert, but Jane Ryland writes a series of books. The first one I think is called Kate's Crew. And she's like renovating her house, and then next door or these guys are helping her renovate her house. I'm not really clear.
Oh, I love these, like...
There's, like, four or five of them.
Yeah, and they're all, like... And it's, like, here are three carpenters, and they're all just...
There for her. They're
the butcher,
there for
the
her.
Baker, the candlestick maker.
And they're there for each other. And this has spawned many another series. I just think she's like one of those authors who, when they come up on BookBub because they're cheap, I'll be like, oh, yeah, I should definitely buy this just because mm-hmm. that way I know I will enjoy it when I need it.
This is not quite on that level. And we've talked about her a lot, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But Robin Lovett, if you yes. like your Tink in Space.
The Planet of Desire series.
A lot of aliens. There, a spaceship crashes on an alien planet, and the whole atmosphere is an aphrodisiac.
Okay, space.
Enjoy.
I'll pick this one up. Okay, space. Space. Challenge accepted. I don't – DubCon can be real touch and go for me, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a series called the Grab series by Lolita Lopez that I think of as being essentially like DubCon light, like just a little hint of it. Mm-hmm. And that is because like the setup of the series is that, you know, there's these women on this planet and like it starts off with this like race and like essentially they're like – cattle almost, and they have to mm-hmm. run, and if one of these aliens catches them like or grabs them, then they are like essentially married off to this guy and this alien, you know, and all of them you're kind of like, this is not really consensual, right? Like they have to, they're taken as like payment for something that this planet has done. All of the and then they go up to like the starship or whatever with these, you know, handsome alien fellows. And all of them also include like some threesome scenes. But, you know, and it turns out these are like good guys. Like it's not like they're monsters or whatever. But yeah, it's like, so it's like got those elements of DubCon, but not so much so that it's like too much for me. Mm-hmm. But it's a great series.
If you are, now we're off my list, but I think we've gone off the list.
Sure.
All of us. I mean, I just, sometimes I think like our listeners, like, these two are really weird. Like, they've read a lot of books. Like, I'm sorry, you guys. We just have. This is what we do.
I'm not sorry.
If DubCon is
these
your...
These people love us.
Yes. If you are wading into the DubCon pool, but, like, you don't want to go full dark romance, like, mm-hmm. truly, like, non-con, you want to do something where, like, there's either, like, light DubCon or DubCon where, or, like, consensual non-consent, right? Mm-hmm. Like, where, like, the play is or the sex is non-consent because they've agreed to it. There is Tessa Bailey and Eve Danger. I said I was going to talk about Tessa, but it's over the line because she's co-writing with Eve Dangerfield here, who also writes very sexy books. They wrote a book called Captivated, where the heroine has, like, the hots for her landlord.
Yep.
And has, like, basically, like, written an entire graphic novel that no one is ever supposed to see where she is, like, taken captive by her landlord. And he finds it and then is like, all right.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. And they make an agreement that that's what they're going to do. So, that's called Captivated. It's great. And then, like, the original for me of these books, the first one that I read, and again, like, I'm sure there were some before, but, like, the first one that I read and the one that I feel like a lot of romance, like, thought, like, the first one that romance writ large found and, like, really thought about is Lila Pace's Asking for It series, which, again, sort of, like, explores this world of consensual non-consent, is very sexy, and it's multiple books long. Same couple, multiple books.
We might as well mention the Katie Porter series, right?
Oh,
the
Las which Vegas we Aces. About, we were talking about yesterday.
Right. And also, if you have, like, now a fighter pilot kink because you saw Top Gun, one of the books, I think the middle one, where they're a married couple experiments with consensual non-consent.
Yep. There's also an alpha submissive in that. Jen doesn't believe it's real, but it is.
I trust you.
Not that book, a different book in that series.
Yeah, and there's also a book in that series that has voyeurism that is super hot.
And one that has, like, costume play, which I got to be honest, you guys, like, in the real world, costume play feels like it would feel, like, I mean, I feel like it feels like it should be really, it would make me feel very silly. But, like, it is super hot in this book.
Yeah.
And, like, that I hope, like, I do not mean to offend if costume play is your thing.
Right.
But, like, it is just a thing that in real life I feel like, That would be, I would feel silly.
It'd but be, yeah.
Well, I it's think very hot in this book. And I actually just recently, what did I read? Shit, I just read a book, like, this week that had it, and I enjoyed it. Now I can't remember what it was.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I feel like I read a chastity belt recently and can't remember that either. Okay, voyeurism, though, I love it. So, three books I want to mention. I've mentioned most of these before, I bet. I don't care. Clay and Florence in Joanna Shoup's The Prince of Broadway are escaping from cops who are breaking into his casino, and they kind of go through to the brothel next door, and there's a peephole, and they watch together. Super hot. Mm-hmm. Beautiful Stranger by Christina Loren is basically them fucking in public all over New York City because they both think it's hot. And then a great book called Being Neighborly by Mika James, where she essentially, like, moves into a new place, and her neighbor across the way, his doesn't have blinds.
Look.
And he's
perfect.
Taking care. He's having some self
I love self that time. Neighbor doesn't have blinds story.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Oh,
God. It's a great one.
Yeah. So good.
For it. Wait. I had another one I wanted to bring up. Let me think for a second. Oh. Hot historicals. You cannot talk about hot historicals without talking about Adriana Herrera as a Caribbean heiress in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Which is flaming hot. Yes. It was out last week. So it is in stores now. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah. That Eiffel Tower scene will be burned into my brain forever.
Look, if you've ever wanted to bang on the Eiffel Tower, and who hasn't?
Sure. When they're building it still. Being the first ones to christen it.
Exactly. Also, Sex Club's Joanna Shoup's most recent book is It Begins in a Mystery Sex Club. So,
okay. I have a couple more trope topics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what's a really interesting, like, kind of hot? Like, have you read The Red by Tiffany Rice? So Tiffany Rice writes a really hot book, but that whole Original Sinner series has to do with priests, so I can't do it. But The Red is actually this woman who essentially, like, there's almost like this magical kind of, it's like really interesting. It has to do with art and fucking, basically. Put that in here.
I mean,
has to do with art and fucking. It's great. Okay, I have two more, like, big topics. One is, okay, I guess I should have probably talked about this one when we talked about athletes. But my personal topic was, I have one book under this topic, by the way. Enemies to Lovers, Where They Can Beat the Shit Out of Each Other. And it's Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed. It's two hockey players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, my God. Like, oh, my God, Sarah. I mean, it opens with, like, one of them just, like, kind of waiting around, and then the other one shows up, and it's just, like, so, like, it's just, like, Clash of the Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that they have essentially been having this, like, secret affair for years because, you know, they're professional athletes. I think that just recently, like, kind of a second book with these two characters came out. I have not read it yet, but this is one of those books. Heated Rivalry is one of those books where I literally do not know a person who has read it who hasn't said, like, oh, my God, it's so good. All right. I also have Oh, No Feelings.
Oh, No Feelings.
And apparently I have a very strange, very particular kink, which is I have tremendous upper body strength. And I'm going to, like,
microtrope.
Microtrope. I'm going to remember that next time someone asks for your favorite microtrope. I'll be like, I have tremendous upper body strength, and I'm just going to boost you up onto my face. Mm-hmm. That is Caro Carson's. I can't remember which book it is. You'll have to look down. The one about the – I've talked about this book before, The Captain's Vegas Vows.
Oh, yeah.
And then also an Erin McCarthy book, the Fast Track series. It's book number 2. And basically it happens, and I'll be like, I was like, okay, that sounds good. All right, ready? Oh, No Feelings. You want me to do Oh, No Feelings?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is very adjacent to delayed gratification for me. Like, I've been waiting for you forever, right? So Kiss of Snow by Nalini Singh, because it takes like 10 books for those two to finally get together. Sin and Ink by Naima Simone. I've been in love with you.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So good.
I've been in love with My Brother's Widow. Wait for It by Molly O'Keefe. I am in love with my brother's ex-wife, and my brother is a dickhead.
Scandal.
Yeah. Caressed by Ice. I'm a sigh and don't have feelings, and now all of a sudden I do. And then Judgment Road by Christine Fien, which is just fucking bonkers, but like presses every single one of my buttons like a million times over.
All right. I have a Oh No Feelings one, Marie Donovan's Her Last Line of Defense, which is a blaze, R.I.P. blaze, and is, so I think I've admitted this on past episodes, but like I'm really a sucker for a military romance. So this hero is, I think, a Green Beret, and he gets in trouble with his like superior, and he's basically punished by having to take like the general's daughter into the woods to teach her survival before she moves, like goes on a trip to South America somewhere.
I bet he's gonna teach her something else.
And so it's like, you know, like she goes into a river and he's like, you're dead of a snake bite. Like, everything is like, you're gonna die. Like, she's like, and she's like extremely competent. But she's like not an outdoorsy person. And so whatever. So they're on like a camping trip, essentially a survival camping trip for like, I don't know, a week. And it's like, you know, now there's a scorpion in your boot, not a Scorpio. There's no Scorpio in your boot.
Watch out for me. I'm in your boot, everybody.
There's a scorpion in your boot. And so they're like out in the woods, and he, of course, is like very rough and like does not feel feelings, and but definitely wants to bang her. So they do bang. And there's this like great oral scene on a rock in the middle of nowhere. And then they come out of the woods, and he's like, okay, I feel feelings for you, but I'll never speak of them.
God forbid.
So you go on your trip, and I am going back to work, and we are never going to speak of this again. And so she does. And he's like a wreck about it.
Yeah.
But the sex is great. And then he's also very broken because he's a big dumb dummy.
Big dummy. I like it. Okay. I have one last category.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Which is like, oh shit, it's hot. Like, right? Like where you're just like, it's just hot. It's hot from beginning to end, hot.
Yep.
And maybe you're surprised by it. Maybe you weren't expecting it, but maybe it just was. And that is American Royalty by Tracy Livesey.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not out yet. Is out soon.
Oh, the bathtub scene?
Hello, that's exactly what I was going to say. He basically, listen, he's just seen the queen and has promised the queen, I am not going to, trust me, I would never.
I'm not the real queen, not the real queen, queen the band.
Not duchess. Right. And then he goes back to his, you know, castle or whatever and finds her in the bathtub. And whew, what are promises? Similarly, like,
what are promises to a monarch?
Listen, it doesn't even matter. It's fine. Then there is Like Lovers Do, also by Tracy, right? Hammock.
Which we've talked about because we love so much here on the pod.
Taken Hostage by Kinky Bank Robbers by Annika Martin.
Oh my God.
Listen, which is.
We've talked about this one too. It's so nonsense and I love it.
It doesn't even, like, that entire book is romance reasons and it's fine.
It's so ridiculous and I love it.
I love it. And then here's an interesting one. Rosie Dannon is.
The roommate.
Yes, but The Roommate is the first book. The Intimacy Experiment is the second book. But in between, at some point, she wrote like a little
the newsletter
scene.
Short.
Yes. Where the heroine from book two joins the couple from book one in a threesome. And it's like,
we love fire. To see it, Rosie.
It literally came to my inbox.
I don't know where you get it. Fire. I think you might be able to get it on her website. We'll have a look.
I think I have a PDF of it somewhere because that's what happens. And if that is the case, I will put it in show notes. But yeah, I just remember.
Maybe we should ask Rosie first.
Well, I mean, I'm going to ask Rosie first, obviously. Oh, wait, I have one more. Okay. This is real old school. Lover, Rage, and Mary.
Lover, Rage, and Mary.
Right?
Oh, my God. We didn't talk about any of those. I'm going to talk about my favorite, too.
Okay. In Lover, Rage, and Mary, he essentially is – he shares his body with, like, a dragon or something, whatever. And he's really worried that, like, he will not be able to keep the dragon in control when they finally do it. So he has his brothers chain him to the bed.
Yep.
So that he will, like, not change into, like, the dragon thing. And listen, it's great. It's all hot. All of it. That entire book is everything I want in the world. Lover, Rage, and Mary. I don't remember its real name. It's the blue one.
Hang on. I don't know which one is it. It's I can never remember.
Well, that's because we'll just say what the actual people are, and then
I can't remember her name either. Hang on, I gotta think for a second.
Well, who's the he?
It's Revenge is him.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a
what's
good
her
one.
Name though?
I don't remember either.
All right, Elena. Got it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, my favorite of those books is Lover, Revenge, and Elena. So she's a nurse and he's a sympath. He's the king of the sympaths, right? So, like, he, like, deeply cannot feel feelings.
Amazing.
Right? And so he, like, so, and there is, like, there is a phone sex scene in that book that just, I mean, my Kindle blew up. Like, I had to get a new Kindle. It was great. And then there's, like, he's, like, afraid to feed from her. Like, he won't feed from her. And, like, the way that the world building there is, like, they have to feed. Like, you feed from your mate. And he won't feed from her. And when he finally does, it's, like. And then, of course, when they do feed from their mate, they get, like.
Sure.
Superpowers. Iron hard-ons. Like, I mean, they get, like. Like yardsticks made of iron.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I mean, you want to talk about somebody who just like, just like peels off her skin to like pure id energy and writes?
J.R. Ward.
It's J.R. Ward.
J.R. Ward. I had one. Oh, okay. I'm going to, okay. Here's how I think we should end. I want us to talk about, like, what's something you've read, like, real recently. Because all of these have been, like, things that have really been, like, in the vault, right? Like, I've read these books a long time ago or whatever. So
that I keep coming back to.
Yeah,
like, books you keep coming back to.
Right. Okay. This week, I'm reading Waylon by Theodora Taylor. And this is, like, big spoiler alert, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She saves him. She's a nurse practitioner and he's like shot and she like essentially saves him. And then he's recovering in her home, but she's really worried. She doesn't really trust him. So she's like handcuffed him to the bed. And then he agrees to be her teacher, like sex lessons.
Like you do.
Fine. And then she like is like, I can't be with you because I need to marry a doctor and move to the suburbs and buy my yellow house. And it turns out that she's like on her literal wedding day, Waylon appears in the church, right? And like saves her from this man she's going to marry, who of course is bad. And that he beats the shit out of this guy. And then they have sex against the wall in the church while she is in the wedding dress that she's going to be used, like that was going to be for another man. And then this guy like wakes up while it's happening. And Waylon's like, shut the fuck up. I'm busy now. And I've got to tell you, I wasn't mad about any of it. In fact, I was like, this is literally the best thing I've ever read in my life. So there you go. A new classic, everyone. A new classic.
So I mentioned the Sarah Kate book Praise, but also you did not mention the second book in that series, which came out like 2 weeks ago called Eyes on Me, which is a lot of you on Instagram want us to do a stepbrother romance and a stepbrother interstitial. And I don't think we are going to do stepbrothers. Like whatever. It's complicated.
Yeah.
But this one is for you if you like Step Brothers. He's significantly older than her, so, like, they didn't grow up in the same house. But he, you know, but they have known each other since she was a teenager. He had no feelings for her whatsoever at all, like, pure nothing. And then, but he's super into voyeurism, which is, you know,
sure.
I expected Jen to mention it then, but she didn't.
I failed.
It's called Eyes on Me. It's very new. And he, like, goes on to, like, a essentially, like, an OnlyFans-style site, and he discovers right. that his stepsister, who is now, you know, a grown woman, is doing an OnlyFans site. And so then he, like, pretends to be, like, he, like, it's like it's like if You've Got Mail were super kinky. So he is both the dude who she is, you know, she is performing for on OnlyFans, and her stepbrother in real life, who she's had a crush on for a long time. And then there's the next one is Ménage, and it comes out in 2 weeks.
Ooh, well, that's exciting. Okay, here's one that ties that all together then. Goldie and the Bears by Hannah Murray. She is going up to this cabin. She's going to start her OnlyFans type site. Mm-hmm. And this man and his business partners are there. There was some sort of booking problem on the, you know, on this.
And they're in a relationship, the two dudes.
Yes, exactly. God, it's so hot. And they're like, mm-hmm. we will help you film.
You know what I love? I love it when the Ménage is like the two dudes are already in a relationship yes. together. And then like the third woman is the third. Yeah. And then I love it when one of them is like, here's a microtrope I really like, where he's like, yeah. he's like, I'm going to tell you what, like, you do this to my partner because he really likes that. Like, yeah. I like it when one of them takes, like, full control.
Yeah. And in this case, I think there's three men. So it's her and three men.
Oh, is there three? Gosh, yes. I forgot about that.
What a hero.
I forgot about that third one.
Heroes for our time. That's all you need to know about that. Super, super hot. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could probably do this all day. At some point, we just have to stop. I know,
we got it, but we do have to pull the trigger because we are running late this week. So that was a good solid hour and 20 minutes, and we're really happy to have been here for all of you. As always, you can find us on fadedmates.net. Or find us on Twitter at Faded Mates or on Instagram at Faded Mates Pod. Thank you to our sponsors, Lumi Labs and Melissa McTernan, for sponsoring the episode. As always, you guys, the best way for you to support Faded Mates is to support our sponsors. Don't forget to, if you order from Lumi Labs, use Faded Mates as your code for a discount. Thanks so much.
Have a great week, everybody.
Have a great week.